I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Father, we thank you so much for this morning, and we thank you for your mercies which are new every morning. Thank you for your mercies towards us today. We pray and thank you for another opportunity to pray unto you. And we ask, Lord, that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart will be acceptable unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Why don't you high five somebody and welcome them to church and tell them you're happy to see them. Glad that they came. And I believe God is going to bless them. Amen. Wow. What a blessing. Amen. All right. You may be seated for a little bit. And we are just going to pray for a few minutes. Amen. Amen. Everybody say we're going to pray for a few minutes. Amen. Right. Today we want to continue praying. Last week we started praying for the Holy Spirit. Amen. And specifically we were asking God for the spirit of understanding, isn't it? Now, Luke chapter 11 and verse 9. Luke chapter 11 and verse 11. What does it say in verse 11? It says, if a son ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? And if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? And what's the next one? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Right? Then the next verse, verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Amen. Amen. So God is equating the Holy Spirit to good gifts. Amen. Amen. That when a child is asking for bread or for fish or for an egg, right? Bread and then fish. And then the next one is what? An egg. Okay. Right, these are good gifts from a father to a child. So those of you who get angry when people ask you for food, you have to understand that you are not thinking like God. Hallelujah. To ask for bread, for fish, and for an egg. These are good gifts. Amen. Right. And God says that if you, being evil, know how to... this is Jesus speaking anyway. Wow. And he says, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts. Wow. You know how to give fish instead of what? Fish instead of a scorpion, isn't it? And then, now which one? Bring them back. Fish instead of a serpent. Can you see the contrast? Fish instead of a serpent. And then what's the other one? Bread instead of a stone. And then the other one is what? Egg instead of a scorpion. A scorpion is very different from an egg. You see. And he says, you know how to filter, you know, and separate and give good gifts. Then he says, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? If you can give a fish, if you can give an egg, and you can give bread. Then he said, fish, egg, and bread compared to the Holy Spirit. You get it? So if you can give fish, egg, and bread, then the Father can give a far higher gift, which is the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? Which means that when you approach God asking for the Holy Spirit, you must have more faith in God releasing the Holy Spirit and his manifestations in your life. You must have more faith in God doing it than you have in me giving you bread. Wow. Do you follow what I'm saying? How many of you believe that I am good enough to give you bread if you ask for bread? We give you bread every Sunday after church. You know, yeah. Not even talking about the kitchen one. I have bread here. I give you every Sunday without fail. I give every one of you bread. And then I even add some wine. Isn't it? It's a blessing to be in a church where the pastor gives you bread and wine. So even if you haven't eaten, relax. By the time the service is over, you will have some bread and some wine. Hallelujah. Right? So, if you are sure about that, if you have enough faith to believe that I can give you bread and wine, then he says, how much more? How much more? Means you can be more certain about God answering your prayer for the Holy Ghost. You see, more certain about an answer to that prayer than you can be about me giving you bread. Wow. Does it make sense? Wow. Yeah. And yet you feel quite confident about me giving you bread. Isn't it? Yeah. So you must be even more confident. That's why I'm saying that when it comes to prayer, what you ask for is very important. And if you make it a point to pray for the Holy Spirit, amen. And Isaiah, we read Isaiah chapter 11, isn't it? Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. As you pray for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon you. Amen. Hallelujah. Then what will be the fig? He says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes. You get it? He will not judge by what he sees. A lot of us are deceived by what we see. Isn't it? Yeah, a lot of us are deceived by what we see. We choose people based on how they look to us. Do you understand? Yeah, I mean, we have such faith in our eyes. Can you imagine you're going on a journey through life? I mean, how long the journey is, you don't even know. It can last for 50 years, 70 more years. Do you understand? You're choosing someone to walk with you. That's like choosing who rides next to you on a bus. And you judge by your eyes. You get it? You're choosing a companion for the rest of your life. Someone who's going to be with you. I mean, strapped to you. Handcuffed together. Do you see? And you choose the person based on how they look. You get it? The broadness of their chest, the size of their hips. Do you see? I mean, you are so shallow and so clueless. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, he says, you will not judge after the sight of his eyes. He will not assume that it looks good means it's good. Do you understand? He will not assume that it feels good means it's good. But he will have a deeper intuitive knowledge of what is good and evil. And that is the result of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit shall rest upon him, and he will have the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding. Last week I was telling you, regrets in life are a product of slow understanding or delayed understanding. You get, when you have regrets, it's because you understood it eventually. It just came too late. Do you see? Yeah, you got it. You got it. You got it eventually. But it just came too late. You had destroyed the marriage. You had destroyed the relationship. You had lost the job. You had ruined your life. You had ruined your health. Now you understand it very well, but it's too late. Hallelujah. That is why you need to pray for the Holy Spirit. You see, and so today I want us to turn our attention to praying for the spirit of wisdom. Do you get it? Praying for the spirit of what? Wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 13 says, this wisdom I have seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city and a few men within it, and there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man. Okay? He was poor, that means he didn't have much. But he had wisdom, right? And he, by his wisdom, delivered the city, yet no man remembered that same poor man. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the Bible says that there was a city, it was a great city, or no, a little city with few men in it, and there came a great king against it, and he besieged it. That means he surrounded it, and then he built, you know, bulwarks and defenses against, like he really took that city captive, bound, made everybody his slave in that city. And the Bible says that there was a poor but wise man in that city. And he, by his wisdom, delivered that city from that bondage. Now, what it means is that a lot of things that have surrounded our lives, and many times when we found ourselves, you know, surrounded by complicated issues and complex situations that seem like they yield to nothing, and that seem like, you know, they are bound to enslave us and to capture us and to keep us captive forever. Often what we are missing or what we are lacking is wisdom. Are you following what I'm saying? What we are lacking is what? Wisdom. See, wisdom is something you need, especially when you're young. The younger you are, the more wisdom you need. But it so happens that the possession of wisdom is inversely related with age, which is that the younger people who need it often don't have it. The older people who are finished with it have a lot of it. Delayed understanding. Do you understand? The ones who have a lot of wisdom are the ones who cannot really benefit from it. I mean, that you know this, that will not change much. Do you understand? There are a lot of people who say, if I was to get married again, I will not marry the person I married. But you are not going to get married again. I agree with you, but you're not going to get married again. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. If I was to have children, start my life now, I think I'll have 7 children instead of 2 or 3. But it's finished. Do you see what I'm saying? Right. But now, the one who is trying to have children now, who needs this wisdom, is the one who doesn't have it. Hallelujah. And the reason why we don't have wisdom is because we do not pray for wisdom. We do not pray for the Holy Spirit. We do not pray for him to manifest himself in his wisdom. Hallelujah. In that same verse 18, it says, wisdom is better than weapons of war. Look at that, verse 18. He says, wisdom is better than weapons of war. Do you see? Wisdom is better than weapons of war. Now, if you were going to fight a battle, you would think you would need what? Weapons of war. And all of us often go for the weapons of war. Depending on what battle is before us, we find the appropriate weapons for fighting that battle. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. See people going or for an interview, attending an interview. You see them. They go to Macy's. Do you get it? They look for some sharp suit. Because they are preparing their weapons of war. Do you get it? Yeah? They go to some salon, fix their hair, do their nails. They buy a tie. You see people who have never worn a tie before. You see, and sometimes you see the tie is actually hanging on their neck like a rope. He's almost choking. You see, this guy is not used to this weapon of war. But the Bible says wisdom is superior to any weapon of war. Anything you can bring along to help you fight any battle. Are you getting what I'm saying? So instead of being a specialist at assembling weapons of war, be a specialist at praying for wisdom. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. Be a specialist at praying for wisdom. Now, one more verse. Ecclesiastes again, chapter 10 and verse 10. It says, if the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. Do you understand? Now, here he's saying that when people are cutting or working with a blunt tool, the iron you're using is blunt, then you have to put more effort. Do you understand? Look, anything that you're doing that is causing you to exert a lot of energy and a lot of time and a lot of effort, including a lot of talking, only to get a little result, It's a sign that you are not using wisdom. He says, if you have wisdom, wisdom brings direction. Do you get it? Wisdom brings direction. You get it? Wisdom brings direction. I tell you, wisdom brings direction. Look, anything you are doing without wisdom is very difficult to do, including bringing the equipment from that trailer to this place. We used to carry the things from the trailer one by one, and you see people just lugging them and then pulling them. Now, one day, Pastor Munena shows up. He's brought now a dolly that actually climbs the stairs. Do you see? Is it here or is gone back in the trailer? Where is it? Bring it. Let me show you. Bring it to the prayer meeting. Bring the dolly over quickly. Do you see? This dolly is uniquely designed to climb stairs. Do you see? Bring it. Can you see? Yeah. Bring it over here. You see? Look at it. Some clever person started to see that, you know, usually this type of dolly has just two wheels, isn't it? Just one pair like that. Now, somebody thought about it and he designed this one to have three wheels. So not only do the wheels roll, but the whole thing actually also rolls, right? So, yeah. So when then it starts to climb the stairs, you get, now since they got this little thing, you will not believe what a difference it has made to moving things from that trailer into this room. Wisdom is profitable to direct. So you see, it may be that what you are missing is actually wisdom. That some of the things are really hard to do because you don't have wisdom. Do you get it? That your marriage is very hard to belong to and to continue to live in. Not because you married the wrong person. You see, that's the easiest culprit to blame. You get it? The easiest thing is to say that it's the wrong person. That's very easy to say. It's the wrong person. Of course, what else would you say? It's the wrong person. And so when you say it's the wrong person, it's not genius. You're not clever if you say it's the wrong person. That's what anybody would say. But often, it is the lack of wisdom. Your axe is blunt. Do you understand? So you're having to put in a lot of effort to do very simple things. I tell you, you see people before service would begin, people are tired and exhausted and even irritated. You get it? And it was as though we were doing the wrong thing. But we were doing the right thing the wrong way. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. With the blunt axe. And we were suffering. Is it clear? It is clear, right? Yeah. That is why you're going to need to pray for wisdom. Do you understand? For any difficult situation you're in, you need to pray. Start asking God first for wisdom before you start complaining. Start asking God first for wisdom. Wisdom, Lord, give me wisdom. How do I approach this? How do I go about this? What should I say? How should I do this? Wisdom. I tell you, there is a wisdom solution for every problem. I tell you, there is a wisdom solution. There is a wisdom solution to every difficulty, every challenge. The Bible says that when that great king came, he surrounded the city. That means there was no way out. And then not only did he surround the city, he built the bulwarks against it. He actually secured it. So he was everywhere. He had locked everyone in from every place. But one thing he could not touch was the wisdom of that man inside. Even the man didn't have money, but he had wisdom. I tell you, you don't have to have money to solve every problem. Many problems don't call for money. It's not more money you need. Many problems don't call for money. They call for wisdom. It's wisdom. It's wisdom. Wisdom is what you need. It's not more money. I can show you someone who has a lot of money who still has that problem. That's when you begin to understand. Any problem you see a rich man has, it tells you that that problem is not solved by money. Do you understand? Any problem you see a rich man has, any problem, it means that problem is not solved by money. So it's not money you're missing. You see, money is one of the, again, another easy culprit to blame. You get it? When things don't work out, you just throw it at money. It's because I don't have money. It's because I don't have money. You get it? Yeah. But many things don't require money. They require wisdom. They require what? Wisdom. Not money. Not money. If I had a lot of money, I would do this. No. What you need is wisdom. The guy was poor, but he was wise. He delivered the city with his wisdom. Your wisdom will deliver you from every enslavement, anything that has captured you, anything that has zeroed in on you, anything that has arrested you. Your wisdom will set you free from that thing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Your wisdom will set you free. Anything that is fighting against you today, as you pray to God for wisdom, believe. Remember, he says God is more likely to give you the Holy Spirit than I am to give you bread. And look at my bread. It's over there. I'm guaranteeing that I will give you bread. So if I can guarantee you bread, then you are guaranteed the Holy Spirit because you asked. Because God said he will give you the Holy Spirit more than I will give you bread. God will give you the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Some of you need wisdom to come out of debt. Yeah. So you have seen people try to get out of debt by getting into more debt. You're swimming deeper into the ocean and you're trying to save yourself from drowning. You need wisdom. God is going to give you wisdom. Hallelujah. Your lack of wisdom is making your solutions are worsening your problem. You know, when someone has a problem where they make it worse as they try to solve it. Do you see what I'm saying? I'll never forget a lady who told me once somebody had advised her that the way her husband was behaving, she should wake him up at dawn and speak to him. You get it? Wake him up at dawn. So she went to bed. She hardly slept at all the whole night. Just waiting for the guy to sleep properly. And the guy was asleep. Then somewhere in the middle of the night, between 3 and 4 o'clock, she wakes him up. She says, Johnny. She says, Johnny. Then Johnny wakes up. You see, you will not let me sleep too. You will not let... Witch, you are now a witch. What they said is true. What they said is true. You are a witch. You don't sleep at night. Then he got out of the bed and he pulled his pajamas. And then he stormed out of the room. And he never came back to the room. Yeah. He said, I have proof now that you are a witch. They said, they told me. They told me you don't sleep at night. But now I've seen it myself. She made it worse by trying to solve it. There is a wisdom solution. I said there's a wisdom solution. Wisdom for handling your children. There's wisdom. Yeah, there's wisdom for handling your children. Yeah, wisdom for handling your children. A lot of us don't use any wisdom. Somebody was telling me yesterday how his brother almost went to jail. His brother was almost jailed for 2 years because he spanked his four-year-old child. And I know how children can sometimes, you know. Have you ever wondered why some dogs eat their young? Same thing. Many parents are tempted to eat their young. You get it. But how to get a little 4-year-old, 3-year-old who doesn't understand anything? You get it? And yet seems to have a strong will. Will not do as you say and still wants the outcome they are crying for. And you've done everything and they won't stop crying. And sometimes you want raw. You need wisdom. I tell you, there's a wisdom. It's wisdom solution for everything. And I don't think it's one solution that works for everything. And what may work for this person may not work for this person. So you need customized wisdom. You need God to customize the wisdom you need for this particular person. How do I handle this particular person? Yeah. Because if you've been around a little bit, you know that people are different. Like from person to person, what works? One person likes something, another person hates it. You see, if you want him to calm down, play loud music when he comes to the house. Then he enters the house. The music is on. He says, "Are you mad?" You see. Then he smashes the stereo. You get it? It worked in the other house. But here, maybe you need classical music. You need some Beethoven or some Mozart. Something like that. You need some music like that. Hallelujah. How many are ready to ask God for wisdom today? Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says in James, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. You see, the book of James chapter... James chapter James chapter what, 1 and verse 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men what? Liberally. Hallelujah. Amen. If any of you lack wisdom, by this time you should know if you lack wisdom or not. What do you think? Yeah. By this time you should know if you lack wisdom or not. If there's any difficulty in your life, it's a sign that you don't have the ability. You see, the reason why we tie knots is, you see, you tie a knot so that it's difficult for that thing to come loose. Do you understand? Any problem that is still in front of you is like a knot that is tied. Do you understand? And you know that, you know, the knot looks, it looks like, can you bring this chair? Let me show you with my shoe. Is it okay if I show you my shoe? Yes. If you have a problem with it, you can buy me a new one. Listen. You see, it looks like it's tied. But this whole thing just comes apart. Just one thing just takes it apart. Look, I'm telling you, there are many seemingly complex things in your life. And just one thing you hold and pull will take the tie out of it. Just one thing. But it's knowing which one thing. Which one thing. Because when you look at the shoe, you see there are many things. You bring it back. There are many things you can pull. You can pull this. It won't do it. You can pull this. It makes it tighter. Yeah. Do you understand? Wow. But there's one here. If I just grab this one, you get it? You see? Yeah. If you just pull this guy, yeah. Yeah. You just pull the right one, and suddenly, look, the whole thing is loose. So I don't know what tightness you are in. Wow. Wow. Some of you are in tight corners, difficult situations. You have difficult things. You don't know what the answer is. You don't know what to do. But I want you to know today is the day of wisdom for you. Today is a day of solutions. Hallelujah. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men. So will God give you wisdom? Well, if you think you are part of all men, then God will give you wisdom. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If you think all men includes you, then God will give you wisdom. Stand to your feet, everybody, and let's pray and ask God to give us wisdom. Pray and ask God to give you wisdom. Wisdom, wisdom. Makabolo mushatala baba. Mikotolo musotori balababa. Makabo shetele bekimene mashakafara balaba para balaba para balaba ba. Mikoso kotoli malama mo shekebele bele bele bele. Make it any malamamo, Shatarabalabo, Sakarabala, Mikolomo, Shatarabalabo, Shadari Alababa, Lababa, 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 Lababa,
solution to God. Concerning every problem of God. in the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit of God. Wisdom in the name of Jesus. Wisdom, oh God. Wisdom, Heavenly Father, oh God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to pray for anyone who is important to your life and yet in whose eyes you have lost favor. I feel like there's somebody here in particular. You have lost favor in the eyes of someone who is important, someone whose decisions affect your life, your boss, someone you work for, someone who pays you. And I want you to pray right now. This is your moment. God wants to give you wisdom. Pray for wisdom for restoring and repairing what has gone wrong. Restoring and fixing what has gone wrong. Restoring and repairing what the enemy has stolen in the name of Jesus. Just pray. Pray for anyone who has authority over you. Pray for wisdom for living with them. Wisdom for walking with them. Wisdom for working under them. Pray for that wisdom in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Pray for wisdom to know how to relate with your professors at school. How to relate with your boss. How to relate with your professor, your teachers. In the name of Jesus. How to relate with your parents. How to relate with your husband. How to relate with anyone who has any kind of authority over you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for wisdom. Thank you for the Spirit of wisdom. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blessing.
In the name of Jesus, oh God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just give him thanks, everybody. Just thank him.
We thank you.
The Bible says he gives wisdom liberally to everyone who asks. God gives wisdom to all men. That includes all women. All men, all women, the young, the old. God will give you wisdom for dealing with the problem that is in front of you. God will give you wisdom. Wisdom for getting out of the situation you are in. This situation that seems to have locked you up. Locked you up tightly. You are coming out of it because the Holy Spirit is bringing wisdom. The Holy Spirit is bringing wisdom. You are coming out of that situation now in the name of Jesus. Mikolo God. Begin to thank God for wisdom. Just thank Him. Thank Him for wisdom. And say, thank you, Lord, for giving me wisdom. Thank you for the Holy Spirit and for wisdom in the name of Jesus.
You have received wisdom, amen. You have received wisdom, amen. For any difficult thing in your life, amen. There is a wisdom solution, and it has come to you today in Jesus' name, amen. Wow, amen. You may take your seats in the house of the Lord, amen. Wow, amen. Testimony time. Oh, I said testimony time. Amen. I believe we have our sister Mega, amen, who has a powerful testimony for us. Oh, put your hands together and encourage her. Amen.
Amen. I'm Mega. And I'm not quite sure what branch I belong to anymore.
LA, LA.
By Philly way of LA. Wow. Amen. So I have two testimonies.
Wow.
One of them happened last week, and the other one happened about a month ago. Wow. I also got miracle money. Amen. Amen. The prophets of our Father are working. Amen.
Amen.
So I was actually one of the times I was home back in Philly, and I was working. It happened to be a Wednesday, and I was when I'm home, I work actually Pacific time, and so I was working and getting ready to go to church, and I happened to check my email. The way my room is study set up, I have two screens because I have to do work. And so the laptop was set to the company email.
Wow.
And then the other one was set to do the work for the work I'm supposed to do. And so I happened to click on the company email, and there was an email that had been sent out, and it said it was a bonus.
Wow.
And I was like, I wasn't expecting a bonus. And when I looked at it, I was sharing with LPAC. I said, it was truly miraculous money because I had been at the point where I hadn't worked in a while, and the bonus covered my credit card bill.
Wow.
Amen. So I'm thanking God.
Yes.
Miracle money. Amen. I had to look at it a couple of times because I wasn't sure about what I was seeing. So I looked at it, and I turned around, and I looked again, and truly... It was miracle money which covered my bills. Amen. Amen. So God is faithful. Amen. So as you continue to give unto his work, amen, he's faithful to supply your needs. Amen. Above all that you even can begin to think of. Amen. Amen. And the one last week.
Number two.
Apostle led us to pray for quick understanding. Wow. And I was also sharing with LPEC, and I think with Zoe on Wednesday, what I do requires me to build for hospital systems. And I had to build something that I had not done before. And I was saying that when I first started on, I kept pushing and telling them, we shouldn't do this because I knew it was out of my comfort zone. And I didn't know how I was going to do it. Wow. And so on Monday when I sat in front of my screen, I still have two screens, and the Holy Spirit just guided me, and step by step, with absolute calmness, I built it, and then I went to demo it on Tuesday and Wednesday, and they actually loved it. Wow. And the ladies reached out and hugged me and said thank you. And I was saying that it's not because it's something I had been taught. I hadn't been taught, but the Holy Spirit taught me on Monday. So I'm thanking God. Amen.
Yeah. Oh, she received quick understanding. Amen. May you also receive quick understanding, and may you receive a bonus this week. Hey, it is too powerful. Amen. Wow. Let's put our hands together and welcome Amabel. Amen. Sister Amabel has a testimony for us. Oh, encourage her as she comes.
Wow. My name is Amabel. Wow. I'm in the choir and Dancing Stars. Hey. My testimony is about miracle money. It's a big miracle money. So what happened was, I was having a problem with my bank in Ghana, because when I was leaving Ghana, I left in a haste, so I kind of I didn't put things really like in order before leaving. So at some point I realized I needed money. Yeah. But then I had bought an investment, so I knew I couldn't. It was something that if I go to Ghana, I wouldn't even be able to get it right away. Wow. I might have to write a letter or something. I think I heard them say something like that. So I just decided to check anyway, just check my balance and then see what. I contacted the bank because I had to ask them if there was any other way that I could get the money without being in Ghana. I didn't have a card. I didn't sign up for internet banking before leaving. So I was chatting with them one day, and then Aldridge was awake. I had an idea of the money I had in my account. So I started chatting with them. They asked me for my ID, and I gave it. Usually, they're supposed to give me, I think they needed something to prove that it was really my account. And the first time, luckily enough, the lady took my ID card. The other people said they wouldn't take it anyway. Yeah, so she checked it and then she told me how much I had left. Wow. And that was not how much I knew I had in the account. Wow. So I finished talking to her, and then I went off. Like, when you log off usually and you go back on the live chat, you usually get another person to chat with. So I tried, because I wasn't sure what she was telling me. So I went on, I spoke with three people. Wow. Who gave me the same feedback. Then Aldridge was texting me from where he's like, how far with the money, like, hey, with your money?
We need the money.
And I said, I told him, I said, I think they are making a mistake. So I'm going on to the fourth person to check again and make sure that it's really, like, because it's three people, but I really think they are making a mistake. I spoke, by the end of the day, I was speaking to like seven of the agents. Yeah, and then the money was still the same. And actually, they couldn't solve my problem, like, immediately, because I had two accounts. I have a dollar account and I have a CD account. The money in my CD account had gone missing.
Hey!
Yeah, so it was like I had a problem. And then on the other hand, something had been... But what I failed to realize was that what I was losing in the CD... What was added on the other account? Because the dollar is like four times the CD. If you're gaining in dollars and you're losing in CDs, it took me a while to understand. But I was like, this thing is miracle. Because the money that was added was actually more than what I was losing. And then one thing is, I always say that a grateful heart is a magnet for miracles. When I started to appreciate what had happened, I mean, I was still chatting with the bank. This has been like 3 weeks. It's an issue that took a long time to solve. I asked them to link me to the branch manager or anyone that could help me, because the people there weren't helping me. So I asked them to take me to the head office. So they gave me this guy's number. And then I was chatting with him about how to withdraw my money. I'd even forgotten about the CD one, because I was like, maybe if it's been added to my dollar, maybe that's how God wants it. So I started talking to this guy. He's like, are you the tall girl who does construction? I said, yes. He's like, okay, hey, I'll just take it up and then I'll do it, personally check on this thing for you. And then I was sleeping one day, I woke up in the morning, I saw an email from him. He's like, I've actually found your investment as well. And then he sent me the details and everything and said I should always use this number to check on it. Wow. So it's like it's miracle money in two ways, Charlie. It's big and it's really working. So thank God.
Wow, miracle money, amen. What she lost in the city, she gained in dollars. Amen. May you also gain. Amen. May you not lose anything. Amen. Oh, put your hands together for the Lord and make some noise. Amen. Wow. Offering time. Oh, I said offering time. Amen. It is indeed a blessing time. Amen. If you have your offering with you, if you could please lift it up. Amen. If this is your first time giving, please text the word Lighthouse to 444-999 and please follow the prompt. It's Lighthouse to 444-999 and you can follow the prompt and then also save the number for future giving. Amen. You can even give when you're at home. Amen. Wow. All right. Shall we lift up our offerings and pray? Father, we thank you so much for this privilege of giving to you, O God. We know, O God, that you can give more than we are given. Therefore, Father, supply our needs according to your riches and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Shall we put our hands together unto the Lord? Amen. As Eden comes up.
My God has spoken, I heard him, let the church.
Sunday is the beginning of our Christmas. Okay. And we're going to begin celebrating our Christmas by celebrating our salvation. Amen. And so next Sunday is Happy Salvation Day. Hallelujah. Now, on Happy Salvation Day, we want to celebrate our salvation. How many are glad you're saved? How many are glad you're saved that you know Jesus? Are you particularly glad that you're not blind to the gospel? That you're not saying no to Jesus and proudly so? You see people saying no to a good thing like salvation. And that is only because they are blind. And the Bible says the God of this world has blinded them and they cannot see the light of the glorious gospel. The gospel is glorious. And we who have received it are blessed to be saved. Amen. So next Sunday, we want to celebrate our salvation. That is what Christmas is about. Hallelujah. Jesus came to this earth and he came to die for us so that we can be saved. And that is a blessing. The best thing you have going for you is your salvation. The thing to be
proud of and to be glad about the most, the thing you must cherish the most, is not your college degree, but is your salvation. Hallelujah. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Hallelujah. So next Sunday, we want to be glad about our salvation. We're going to celebrate it. And to do so, we're going to do three things. One of them is we're going to invite someone to church. We're going to bring a soul. You come to church with someone. So right from when we close from here today, you go and look for who is coming to church from today. If you don't find the person today, find them tomorrow. If you don't find them, you have up to Saturday to find them and Sunday to bring them along with you. Wow. To say thank you to God for your own salvation. Hallelujah. Then the second thing we're going to do is next Sunday, we're going to pray right here in the service for all those who do not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. Speaking in tongues is praying in the Holy Ghost. It's praying in the Spirit. And next Sunday, I'll share with you a little bit about that. And we're going to pray right here in the service. So next Sunday is a super spiritual service. And you shouldn't miss it. Hallelujah. And then the third thing I want you to do next Sunday is to come to church dressed in white. Some bright clothes just to celebrate your salvation. So when we see you, we know that this is your salvation. Happy Salvation Day. And that you're the star of the day. Do you understand? And then the last thing is we're going to see how we can arrange water baptism for those of you who have not been water baptized. What I mean by water baptism is to be baptized by being immersed in water, not having water sprinkled on you. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, yesterday I was watching a little video and it looked like the pastor was about to sprinkle some water on a little boy. Then the boy dodged and he went into the water the right way and he baptized himself. Hallelujah. So we want to do this next Sunday and we're going to find some warm water somewhere and get this done. Amen. So if you're here and you have not been baptized by immersion since you got saved, next Sunday, we can help you with that, and I believe it's going to be a blessing. So if you want to be baptized next Sunday, see Pastor Charles right here after the service and give him your name so we know how many people there are, and then we know what arrangements to make that happen. Amen. How many are glad about that? Okay. So now, I'm going to preach to you for just a few minutes. Amen. I promise you, it's going to be just a few minutes. And then we're going to close. Amen. All right. So I'm just wrapping up the message I've been sharing with you about the unrighteousness of those who forget. Hallelujah. The unrighteousness of those who forget. Isn't it? We've been reading from Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, which says that God is not Hebrews, not Galatians. Hebrews chapter number 6 and the verse is 12. Amen. Oh, no, not this. That's for the Wednesday message. Okay. 6 and verse 10, I'm sorry. Hebrews 6 and verse 10. It says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Hallelujah. So God will not forget what you have done, and God will not forget what you're continuing to do. Amen. There are some people who only qualify for the first part. they have done something in the past, but they're not doing it anymore. Do you see? But you can see from this verse that God is watching both what you have done in the past and what you're continuing to do in his name and for him. Amen. But what we're talking about here in this verse is how that the Bible is pointing out that it is unrighteousness to forget the good that someone has done, isn't it? It's unrighteousness to forget the blessings, the source, the things that God has done. And we've been talking about the unrighteousness of forgetting. Amen. Right. So number one, we said people who forget are unrighteous. Number two, people who forget are unrighteous and do not have the nature of God. Do you have that? Right? That people who forget are unrighteous and they do not have the nature of God. Number three, people who forget are unrighteous and they are cursed to wither. Amen. If you forget God, you are cursed to wither. And we read a verse from the book of Job, chapter 8 and verse 11. Job chapter 8 and from verse 11, it says, then can the rush grow up without mire? Can the flag grow without water? Then verse 12, then, no, what's going on? Who's doing this today? Okay, verse 12, whilst it is yet in his greenness and not cut down, it withereth before any other herb. Then verse 13, it says, so are the paths of that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish. Amen. Amen. The hypocrite's hope or expectation shall perish. But it's saying that people do not flourish when they forget or despise or ignore the things that their flourishing depends upon. Amen. And our blessing and flourishing depends on God. When you forget God, you do not do well. You are cursed to wither. Hallelujah. But you will not wither in the name of Jesus, because you will remember God. Amen. Amen. We also talked about unrighteous people who forget are often proud. Do you remember that? The people who forget are proud. It is pride that makes people take God out of the equation and attribute their success and blessing to other things, you know. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 12, the Bible says, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied. You know, so you can see, it says, your flocks and your herds have multiplied, and your silver and your gold has multiplied, you know. Sometimes when good things are happening, we fail to recognize what is behind it. Do you see that good things don't just happen? There is something behind it. Amen. You must cultivate the habit of looking for what is behind the good that you're experiencing. And if you look carefully enough, you will realize that all good things that happen to us point to God. The Bible says a man can receive nothing except it be given to him from above. Hallelujah. A man can receive nothing except it be given to him from above. Someone above is giving things to people. And if you ignore the person who is above, whoever it is that is up there, if you ignore him, you're not going to receive anything. Hallelujah. It says, then and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God. So the alternative to remembering God is a lifted heart that takes God out of the equation. And you start to believe in yourself. You start to attribute things to your own strength, your own effort, your own energy, you know. And you start to believe that you are the source and you are the power behind your own success and blessing. Tell somebody, better days are just ahead. Tell somebody, things are about to multiply in your life. Yeah. Yes. Hallelujah. Your destiny contains multiplication. God intends for you to multiply. Can I have an amen? Everything you have will multiply, including yourself. If you're alone, get ready to multiply. Hallelujah. Amen. You will not be alone forever. Those of you who are looking for companions, looking for some stimulating company. Because not all company is stimulating. Looking for company that is motivating, that is encouraging, and that is warm, isn't it? Company you don't want to leave, isn't it? Yes, God will multiply you. But he says you have to remember that one of the effects of the multiplication, one of the side things that can happen to people who experience this multiplication is that their hearts are lifted up. Amen. Their hearts are lifted up. And they say that, it says, thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. Do you see? Yeah. Sometimes you hear people say, I worked really hard. And that is true. You see, it's true that I have worked very hard. But hard work itself does not guarantee results. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. You can have the ability to work hard, but you don't have the ability to make your hard work respond to itself. Do you see what I'm saying? You need a supernatural power to make all your hard work work. Hallelujah. So never say in your heart, my own might, isn't it? And the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. Don't call yourself a self-made man or a self-made woman. Call yourself a God-made man and a God-made woman. Hallelujah. Say that God has been gracious to you. Hallelujah. Say that God has blessed me. And if God used a human being to help you, don't be ashamed to say that God used this person to help me. Sometimes we want to prove to these people or to other people and to anyone who has helped us that we could have made it without their help anyway. One day I saw someone quarreling with his pastor. And I was trying to advise him and I was telling him, you can't quarrel with this man because he made you a pastor. And the fellow said, huh? I would have been a pastor anyway. You see, that's proud people talk. Proud people say, I would have been born anyway. I would have been successful anyway. I would have found a job anyway. I would have made it anyway. That's how proud people talk. But humble people acknowledge and say, if it hadn't been for this person. Do you understand? Yes. It is the Lord. The blessing of the Lord is what brings wealth. And that's what brings any kind of progress in anybody's life. But acknowledge the person through whom God brings that blessing also. Hallelujah. And I was telling you the other day, you have to mark some people as no quarrel zones. There are some people you have to designate them as no quarrel zones. This person, no matter what they do, they get a free pass. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, there must be some free pass people in your life. Isn't it? Yeah. Some of the people who deserve a free pass in your life are your parents. You owe them so much you can never pay the debt. It's just a bad debt. Do you know what a bad debt is? It's a debt that will never be paid. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, how much do you, when you take an Uber ride from this place to this place for 30 minutes, how much do you pay them? Yeah. So what do you owe them riding their body for 9 months? Uber rides are just for a short period. They start and they end. But you live in someone's body and you even change the body. You get it. Sometimes you bloat up their nose, their cheeks, and everything just changes about the person because you're riding in their body. What do you owe such a person? You owe them forever. You can never say thank you enough. Do you see what I'm saying? So you must designate them no quarrel zones. You just mark the person and you say, this person, I'll never quarrel with the person. Do you get it? I'll never fight with the person. Even if the person is tempting you, you just politely walk away. You just say, excuse me, please. You get it? You are in my no quarrel zone. And so I refuse to quarrel with you. Hallelujah. I think that's going to be a blessing for someone here today. Amen. Yeah. It brings curses on people, according to the Bible. You know. And so the Bible says, whoever pays good with evil signs a contract with evil forever. It says evil will never depart from their lives. People who pay back evil with good. When someone has been good to you and you return their good with evil, the Bible says evil will never depart from your life. There will always be something fantastic happening in your life. Hallelujah. So let's be careful. Say amen.
Amen.
Right. Now the next thing quickly is that unrighteous people do not remember anyone when they become wealthy. Unrighteous people do not remember anyone when they become wealthy. Hallelujah. One of the characteristics of unrighteousness is not remembering anyone when you are blessed. Hallelujah. When things work out for you, you must remember people. Amen. You must remember the people. You must remember people who are not as fortunate as you are. Hallelujah. See, anytime I see someone standing by the street begging, it occurs to me that that could be me. Do you understand? Yeah. You must not analyze too much. You must not think too much. Do you get it? If you have to give to someone, don't process it too much. Amen. Yeah. Don't try to analyze what it's going to do with the money. When you are being paid, nobody asks, what are you going to do with the money? A lot of us waste money, but we're still paid. Isn't it? God still gives to us, even though we don't always use it wisely. Isn't it? So when you have to give to someone, don't get into their minds and get into their budget sheets and try to get into everything and try to, you know, analyze what they're going to do with. You see, what really matters is that you did your part. Hallelujah. What really matters is that when God gave you the opportunity, you did your part. You didn't hold back. Amen. God's purpose for blessing us is revealed in Genesis chapter 12. So go to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2. The Bible says, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Hallelujah. He said, "I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be what?" Hallelujah. So God's intention is to make two things out of you. One of them is he said he's going to bless you, isn't it? Yeah, so God wants to give you a blessing. Then God wants to make you a blessing by giving you a blessing. Do you understand? Yes. So when you're giving a blessing, then that blessing should make you a blessing. What do you think? You see, dangerous people are often dangerous because they are carrying something dangerous. Do you understand? Yeah. Sometimes criminals, robbers, and people like that are dangerous because they are carrying something that is dangerous. And the danger in them leaves when that something is removed. So you meet an armed man. When you take away whatever he's armed with, then the danger he poses is gone because of what he is removed from him. Now, if you hold yourself out and you keep asking God to bless you, what you're saying is, "God, I want you to make me a blessing." Because that blessing that God gives you is supposed to make you a blessing.
That's right.
Are you getting what I'm saying? You don't qualify to receive a blessing from God if you are not ready to be a blessing. Can I have an amen? Everyone who expects to be blessed must expect to be a blessing. So when you ask God for things and God is giving those things to you, you must expect others to also ask you for things, and you will also be giving those things to them. But often we want it just one way. We want to receive, but we don't want to give. Even to give a tithe out of something you would not have had if God had not given it to you. Even that is a problem for some people. They like to argue, bring up all sorts of arguments and say that, you know, but you don't realize that no one continues to pour water into a drain that does not allow the water to go. There is no sane person who keeps pouring water into a clogged drain. As long as your life remains clogged, God is not going to continue pouring into your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? But God always pours into people who flow onto others. People through whom God is able to reach others always have. People who share always have something to share. People who receive and share always receive more. Hallelujah. Those who receive and share always receive more. Those who do not share eventually find even what they have, they start to lose it. Hallelujah. So if you're asking God to bless you, then expect to be a blessing. Amen. Decide that you're going to be a blessing. As we enter the Christmas season, instead of looking up and expecting people to bring you gifts, do you get it? Instead of expecting a present from people, forget about that. Think about how you can be a blessing to someone. Hallelujah. This Christmas, you are going to be a blessing to someone. Hallelujah. Tell yourself, this Christmas, you will be their blessing. Amen. You will not be waiting for someone to bless you. You will be the blessing. Hallelujah. You will make someone smile because of what you give them. instead of waiting to smile because of what someone gives to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? You see some people making their lists. Yeah. And they're just making their lists. And they're only thinking about themselves. When will you also make a list of the people who are going to receive from you? You are making a list of the things you'd like to receive. But you need to make a list not of things, but of people you can also be a blessing to. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God said, I will bless you and I will make you a blessing. So whatever God has given you, his motive is very clear. God wants you to be a blessing. Amen. If God blesses you spiritually, he wants you to be a blessing. Amen. If you go to church and you hear a message and it blesses you, God's aim is to make you a blessing. So you're supposed to go out and share that message with someone. Amen. You're supposed to bring that to someone and be a blessing to that person, because God blesses us so that we can become blessings ourselves. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It is God who gives us the power to get wealth so that we will also be blessings to people. Amen. Amen. Next one is that unrighteous people do not remember their past sins and mistakes. Yeah. They do not remember their own past sins and mistakes. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 7. Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 7. It says, remember and forget not. Remember and forget not how thou provokest. What a word. Thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness, from the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until ye came unto this place. Ye have been rebellious against the Lord. Yeah. And he said, you must remember. Hallelujah. You must remember your own past sins. Are you getting it? There's a verse in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, which says that, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself. Isn't it? Considering thyself. So the way we deal with people's mistakes must take into account what mistakes we ourselves have made in the past. It is very easy to recommend someone for judgment and condemnation, you know. Even sometimes while you're holding in your mind a remembrance that you yourself have been guilty of this before. But people don't remember that I've done the same thing before. You get it? Or I've done even something worse. And because of that, the same mercy that was shown me, I must also show that mercy to another person. Isn't it? Do you remember how Jesus told the story of a man who owed some money? And then he was just begging and pleading that he be forgiven. And he was forgiven. Isn't it? Then, right after he was forgiven, he went and he went to collect some other guy who owed him even less than what was forgiving him. And he put the guy in jail. He said, you are not coming out unless you pay. Do you understand? So some people came to report this to the master and said that the guy you forgave is refusing to forgive. And the master sent and they brought the fellow back. You get it? Yes, because sometimes we forget that somebody can collect us also. and reinstate our case and reopen a matter that was closed. So the fellow was brought back, the matter was reopened, and he was in trouble. And Jesus says that that is what our Heavenly Father will do to people who do not forgive those. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There is nothing anyone has done against you that you have not done against another before. It may not be the same color, but you have committed the same sin before. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, unrighteous people, they forget that they themselves have been guilty before. Are you understanding me? That is why we must remember our own past and remember our own sins. What do you think? We must remember our own past and remember our own sins. Amen. What will it do for us if we remember our own sins? Number one, it will make us appreciate the mercy that has been shown us. Amen. It will make us appreciate the mercy that God has shown us. That God did show us mercy. Amen. God did show us mercy. And when you remember that God has shown you mercy, it makes you do so many things. You get it? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. The Bible says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. It says, when you remember that whatever you've been given to do in the Lord, in the house of God, is because you have received mercy. He says, you don't get tired of it. He says, we don't faint. We don't faint. Do you understand? So working for the Lord is fueled and powered by remembrance of mercy. If you remember that God has shown you mercy, it will not be too much for you to come to church early, or too much for you to come to church and arrange things, or too much for you to help, you know, take things down after church. It will not be too much for you because you remember that you've been shown mercy. Mercy. You've been shown mercy. If God had not forgiven us, even we could not have lived with ourselves. It is God's forgiveness that has relieved you of the burden of the thoughts of the things that are in your past. Is it not true? It is the remembrance of God's mercy that makes living bearable. That you even remember certain things and you can comfortably, you know, continue to exist and to be around. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God's mercy is like that. The next thing that it does for us is that it helps you acknowledge that it's not by your own works of righteousness. Do you get it? It helps you realize that it is not by your own works of righteousness. It is by God's doing and God's mercy. Amen. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Then it says, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. There's no one who can be good enough to be saved. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, there's no one who can be good enough to be saved. Hallelujah. All of us need to be washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, whether our stain is large or small. Do you know that when you put your things in the washer, they are not all dirty in the same place, but they all deserve to go in the same place, isn't it? And they all deserve the same treatment, isn't it? Same detergent has to wash all of them, even though they are not the same stains and they are not in the same place. That's how it is with our lives. Hallelujah. That we may not be guilty of the same sins, but all have sinned, is what the Bible says. All have sinned. All have sinned. The Bible says there is none righteous. Then it says, no, not one. Not one. Not one. There is no good person. In fact, the Bible says all our righteousness, can you imagine our best acts of righteousness? They are as filthy rags before the Lord. So What makes us qualify to stand before a holy God except his mercy? Hallelujah. God showed us mercy. God showed us mercy. Hallelujah. And when you remember that coming this far has not been because of your works of righteousness, then it helps you know that going further will not be by your works of righteousness. Do you understand? Because there are some people also who believe they are saved by grace, but they must live by works. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that is why we condemn ourselves so much when we fail. Because we are so disappointed in ourselves, we cannot even accept God's forgiveness. We cannot accept that we are only human. See, sometimes when people look remorseful, especially when they are not recovering from their failure, it's rather a sign of pride. See, you meet someone who constantly rehearses what he has done wrong. You see, who keeps saying what he has done wrong. It's often a sign that he cannot accept God's forgiveness. And he cannot accept God's forgiveness because he feels that he does not deserve it. And that feeling of not deserving it comes from thinking that you have not done enough to deserve it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Which means you believe more in your works of righteousness than in the grace of God forgiving you. So it works the other way too, that someone looks excessively remorseful, but it is because they are not recovering and they are not being able to accept God's forgiveness. I've seen some people who leave church because they fell into sin. And they feel like they don't deserve to come to God's presence. So they decide just to go back to the life of living like an unbeliever. That's someone who believes in the works of righteousness. You believe that it's your own works that save you and not the mercy of God and the grace of God. Because if you believed in the grace of God, then you will remember that the Bible says, though your sins be as scarlet, even though they be as scarlet, it says they shall be white as snow, isn't it? Yes. Even though your sins are deep red, he said your sins will be washed by his blood. Hallelujah. Someone wrote a song and said, what can wash away my sins? Nothing. Not gain, not tied with bleach. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood, not Clorox. Clorox cannot wash away your sins. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Nothing but the blood. Only God makes us good. And we must always remember that we are good because of God. Do you understand? And if you take God out of any of us, we are all bad. All have sinned. All of us are bad. And falling short of the glory of God. There is no better one. Do you understand? There is no better one. There is no better one. All have sinned and falling short of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? And then the next thing it does is that it will keep you humble. It keeps you humble, which is important because the Bible says God resists the proud, but God gives grace to humble people. God helps humble people. God puts a ladder in front of humble people and helps them to climb up. Do you understand? But when people are proud, God removes the ladder and leaves them down there to find their way up there. Do you understand? God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. When you're proud, God will lock the door and he will stand behind it. The door is locked and he's standing behind it too. It's not opening anytime soon. But when you embrace the grace of God and understand that it's not you, it's God, then God helps you. Amen. And the last one is that you have compassion for others who are at the stage where you were at some time ago. Amen. You have compassion on others. So you are patient with others. You are more sympathetic with others. If you meet someone who is still struggling with alcohol, You are more compassionate and understanding because they are just where you used to be. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, they're just where you used to be. See, someone who is still smoking, they're just where you used to be. They're trying to reduce it from a pack a day to a few sticks of cigarette a day until it becomes one in 2 days, once a week, once a month, until it dries out completely. Hallelujah. So tell someone it's not by works of righteousness, it is by the grace of God. And you must not forget. You must not forget that. You must not forget that. Stand to your feet and let's bring a service to a close. Amen. Amen. Now, bow your heads with me, everybody, and pray and thank God for your salvation. Thank God for everything that He has done for you. Think of all the things that are working as you'd like them to. Think of, just forget for a moment about the things that are not as you'd like them to be. Think about the things that are the way you'd like them to be. And remember that it's not because you're good, but it is because God has been good to you. It is God who has been gracious to you. That we have a church because God has been gracious to us. That we are alive because God has been gracious to us. That we are blessed with a great father and pastor and prophet because God has been good to us. It is God who has been good to us. Just give Him thanks, everybody. Give Him thanks. Thank Him for your family. Thank Him for every blessing He has given you. Every blessing. Everything that is working in your life. Thank God for that blessing in the name of Jesus. Thank God for that blessing. Thank God for that blessing. Thank God for that blessing. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for His blessing in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we realize that if it has not been for your grace, if it had not been for you, we would have nothing. We would not have jobs. And even if we had jobs, we would not have the favor we have on those jobs. So many things that you have caused to fall in proper places in our favor and helping us. And Lord, we pray that we will not forget. We will always remember. We will not be proud, but we'll remember the day when we had nothing. We'll remember the day when somebody had to help us. We'll remember the people who helped us, the people who prayed for us, those who prophesied on our lives, those who confessed and prayed for us, those who stood by us, Lord. We will remember them always and remember that it is God who has been good, that you have been behind it all. It is you who gave us power to get wealth and to be who we have become. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in the name of Jesus. As we bring the service to a close today, maybe you're here and you know in your heart that you're not born again, that Jesus is not the Lord of your life. And you want to give your life to Jesus today. You want to give your life to Jesus. You want to say, Jesus, be my Lord and Master. I don't want to go to hell when I die. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want my soul to go to hell. Last week, as I saw the fires burning all across California, and I was looking at the fires, and I just imagined if this is what this fire would look like here, can you imagine what hell will be like? And to be put in hell for your sins when you don't have to go to hell because Jesus died for you. You don't have to go to hell. So I want to give you that opportunity to give your life to Jesus. Maybe you're here in this service, or you're watching us on Facebook or on the internet and just joining the service online, but you know in your heart that you're not born again. This is your opportunity to be saved. So if you're here like that, just raise up your right hand so I can see it and I'll pray with you. Is there anybody here like that today? I'll pray with you. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Right. Now, I want us all to say this prayer together, including you who are watching us online. Let's say this prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that you are Lord. And I confess with my mouth, God raised you from the dead. Say, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Forgive my sins, Lord. Let your blood wash me. And let your blood cleanse me. And make me a child of God. Say, please write my name in the book of life. Say, Lord, please write my name in your book of life. My name is, and mention your name. Please write this name in your book of life. I want to go to heaven when my life is done on this earth. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. And everybody says, amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Right now, let's come to the Lord's table. Let's come to the Lord's table. Just
take, eat, this is my body, which was broken for you. Drink, this is my blood, which was poured out for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. This cup of blessing God we bless, it's the communion of the body of Christ. And this bread which we break, it's the communion of the body of Christ. Oh, this is the holy meal that came down from heaven, and it will sustain you, it will heal you, it will give you life. When I see the blood, I will pass over you.
Hallelujah. I want you to take your bread with me. Take your bread with me. And let us pray. Father, we thank you today for the blessing of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the body that was broken for us. This is it. This is the body that was broken in place of our bodies. This is the reason why we can claim healing for everyone who is sick here today in the name of Jesus. This is the reason why we can bind the devil,
yes,
and curse every work of darkness in the name of Jesus. This is the reason why we can disable the hand of the devil in our affairs in the name of Jesus. Because of the body that was broken for us. The body that was broken for us. And the blood that was shed for us. To wash away our sins. That though our sins be like scarlet, yet they can be washed. And we who otherwise were unqualified in so many ways and for so many reasons, unqualified to stand in your presence. Even the best of us, the best of us, is still like filthy rags before you. But thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God for the blood that speaks on our behalf. Thank God for the blood that answers claims to our lives. Thank God for the blood that intervenes and steps in and comes between us and the evil one in the name of Jesus. Thank God for the blood that delivers us from accidents, that delivers us from premature death in the name of Jesus. The blood that delivers us from the hand of the enemy and from the curses that come upon us because of our own mistakes, our own choices, and other things that we have done that we shouldn't have done. Thank you for the blood that redeems us, that redeems our lives from destruction. Our lives are placed beyond destruction because of the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the blood. Today, as we eat the bread and drink the blood, let it purge us. Let it purge every sin and every work of unrighteousness in our lives in the name of Jesus. Deliver us, O God, from being forgetful of the grace of God. May we not forget the grace of God. May we not forget the hand of God. May we not forget God. May we not forget God. May we not forget your hand in our lives. In the name of Jesus. Deliver us, O God, from a lifted heart. From a heart that is puffed up. Deliver us from a mind that is bloated with exaggeration of our own importance, O God. In the name of Jesus. And guide us rather into humility. May the humility of Christ be found in us. May the humility of Christ be found in us, O God. May the humility of Christ be found in each of us, O God. In the name of Jesus. And we pray especially, Lord, that as you have been merciful unto us, so will we also be merciful unto others. We pray, O God, that as you have forgiven us much, so will we also forgive others much. In the name of Jesus. We stand before you today and we say that for all who have offended us and for all who have wronged us, Lord, we release them right now. That just as you have released us, O God, we also release those who have wronged us in the name of Jesus. That the enemy will not have an advantage over us. That the enemy will not retain a part in us because we refuse to let go. We pray in the name of Jesus that these elements will be transformed by your power. That as we eat them, Lord, our own lives will also be transformed in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. Now take the bread and say with me, the body of Jesus Christ. Say the body of Jesus Christ. You may eat the bread. Take the wine with me also. And say with me, the blood of Jesus Christ. Say the blood of Jesus Christ. And you may drink. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your blessing upon us this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together and you may sit down.